Will you now open your Bibles, please, to Habakkuk? Our verse for this morning, Habakkuk chapter 1. Let's all stand up as we read these verses. Habakkuk chapter 1, starting from verse 1 to 17. Will you read these with me? The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? I cry out to thee, violence, yet you do not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity, and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored. Justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Look among the nations, observe. Be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, and they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Thou, O Lord, hast appointed them to judge, and thou, O Rock, hast established them to correct. Thine eyes are too pure to approve evil, and thou canst not look on wickedness with favor. Why dost thou look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why art thou silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why hast thou made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for just allowing us to come here to worship you, to sing to you. Father, will you bless our hearts this morning? Father, will you allow Pastor Speaker to speak to us powerfully, that it may touch our hearts? Speak through him, Lord, use him mightily. We pray for his cough, for his health. Father, uphold him physically this morning until this evening. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, that you will just touch our hearts, that in the midst of our problems, Lord, we will see your hand and we will learn what it is you are teaching us. And finally, Lord, we pray for our building project in C5. As we are about to start, Lord, yet we are not being given the excavation permits yet, the building permits. Father, will you touch the hearts of the building officials, Father, that they may be able to give us the excavation and building permits. Father, we lift up to you our prayer mountain project, as we have started already. Father, will you point us in the right direction about suppliers, materials, the time frame? Father, in all of this, we just pray that you will take charge, that we will be dependent on you. Once again, Lord, we pray for our projects. We pray for our hearts. Touch our hearts, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sit down, please. Let's give a welcome to Pastor Peter.
Good morning. Good morning. I want to greet especially those who are watching us in the internet, in the overflow room. Praise God. And one more time, just turn to your neighbor. Just tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you are here this morning. Glad you're here this morning. This morning, we begin this new series on the book called Habakkuk. Now, some of you will probably hear it for the first time. It's probably the last fifth book in the Old Testament. So you move backward from Matthew, you move backward. So turn to the book of Habakkuk. The reason I like you to turn to that chapter, it's an amazing chapter. So for the next 3 weeks, we will discuss chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Now, why Habakkuk? Let me tell you why. Habakkuk is written with a lot of similarities when it comes to the Philippine condition. It talks about, I see injustice, I see problems, I see violence, and Lord, you are not doing anything. It's very appropriate and very relevant to God's people. The word Habakkuk comes from the word embracing or wrestling. The idea is using two hands to embrace or to wrestle. Because Habakkuk was wrestling with God. Chapter 1, he was worried. By the end of chapter 3, he was worshiping God. Chapter 1, Habakkuk was complaining to God. By the time you have chapter 3, Habakkuk was praising God. So it's a very appropriate book for all of us. The theme of the book of Habakkuk, ladies and gentlemen, let's read this together. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, that's the key verse. The righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by faith. So Habakkuk has three chapters. Chapter 1, honest faith. Chapter 2, expectant faith. Chapter 3, triumphant faith. You can outline it the way you want it, but for simplicity, that's how we outline this. So this morning, what will we discuss? Honest faith. One more time. Honest faith. What is the meaning of honest faith? It simply means when you are confused, number one, you talk to God. Number two, you listen to God. And number three, you remember who God is, God's character. Now, do you believe that God wants you to be honest with Him? Be honest. For example, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Let's read that together. The oracle which Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? I cry to thee for violence. I cry to thee violence. Thou dost not save. Why dost thou make me see iniquity? Notice, two words that most young people, children, ask their parents. Number one, how long? Number two, why? I remember when I was driving my kids to Baguio, we were traveling in the States, they keep asking, how long? Are we there already? How long? Yes? Now, many singles have the same prayer request, have the same problems. How long? How long? I've been attending singles retreat. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. CCF is now on its 25th anniversary. How long? How long? How long? Do you understand? Now, some of you have been praying for loved ones. You are praying for the people seated beside you. You want them to change, right? How long, Lord? How long? How come He is not changing? In fact, sometimes it gets worse. So, do you understand this problem of Habakkuk? How long? The next question is what? Why? Now, do you have this question ask you? Why? I remember my children, they asked me, Daddy, how come a brown cow eating green grass will produce white milk? Oh, have you tried answering that? Because I was about to tell him that's where chocolate comes from. You know, chocolate milk, brown cow, green grass. If your son were to ask you, how come bubbles float? Have you played with them this bubble game? You blow and then there are bubbles. How come it floats? Oh, let me ask you, do you know why it floats? I know something you don't know. Why do bubbles float in the air? See, these are questions. So sometimes in life, you have the same questions. You go to God. When you are puzzled and you don't know what's happening, go to God. Talk to Him. That's what Habakkuk did. Let us see his problem, alright? Let's look at verse 1 again. How long will I call for help and thou wilt not hear? It's called the silence of God. There are times when God seems to be silent. When God seems to be not doing His job. And that was His problem. Lord, I cry violence. You are not doing anything. Has God been inactive in your life at times? Well, be honest with Him. God can take it. Why dost thou make me see iniquity? Cause me to look on wickedness. Yes, destruction, violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. The law is ignored. Justice is never upheld. The wicked surround the righteous. Justice comes out perverted. Does that remind you of the Philippines? You know why we come here every Tuesday morning? Many of you are here on Tuesday morning. Because on Tuesday morning, the first prayer agenda is always for the Philippines. I tell people, stop complaining. You love the Philippines, you pray for the Philippines. So what? That is what CCF do. We pray for this country. I cry for this country. And sometimes, this is exactly my experience. Lord, justice is perverted. Do you notice we are still very corrupt? Yes or no? Does it ever bother you? Yes or no? So what are you going to do about it? Like Habakkuk. Let me tell you why this book is very important, if you ask me. These are fundamentals of life. Why you need to study this book. Number one, you will face trials and you will have problems. Sooner or later, you are going to encounter problems. It can be caused by other people. It can be accidents. Or it can be caused by loved ones. The honest truth, reality, the person beside you is going to hurt you, is going to disappoint you sooner or later. Now turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, sooner or later, I'm going to be disappointed with you. I'm telling you, this is for sure. And I usually warn young Christians. When I disciple young Christians, I immediately tell them, if possible, I will warn them. After giving your life to Jesus, do not expect other believers to be perfect. Because when you focus your eyes on other believers, you are doomed to be disappointed. Christian leaders will fail you. In fact, your own husband, your own wife will disappoint you. If you don't believe me, ask those who are married. Sige, magtanong na kayo. We had our couples retreat last weekend. Praise God. God did something miraculously. Many lives were changed. Many people gave their lives to Jesus. But the truth is this. Your loved ones will sooner or later not only disappoint you, they will hurt you. Surprisingly. You will be hurt. And you will feel betrayed by the people that you love. Sooner or later. Why? Because we are sinners. We are imperfect people. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are confused, be honest with God. God can take it. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, be honest with God. Honest faith. Tell him the problem. You know, some Christians are into denial. You know why? You think to be spiritual, you should have no questions about what's happening in your life. To be spiritual, you should never doubt what God is doing. The honest truth, as you go through life, you will progress. But many times, you will question. You will be perplexed and you will not know what's happening. Don't go through denial. I think of my family members. I have a nephew who is Down syndrome. How do you explain that? I know the mother. She loves the Lord. We don't always understand. I have another niece. Schizophrenic. How do you explain that? It does not run in our family line. But you have this kind of problem. Later on, you will hear a testimony. A good friend of ours, Jay Belda. How many of you have heard of Jay Belda? The brother of the brother-in-law of Sandy Dasa. Anyway, Jay will give his testimony. He loves the Lord, but he was afflicted with cancer. Now, how do you explain that? I cannot always explain. So don't go into denial. I'm reminded of this New Yorker. He went to Texas. And as he was driving, he hit a car carrying a horse. Of course, serious accident. 3 months later, he went to the insurance company to collect damages because he was hurt. The insurance company said, sir, how can you collect insurance? Because based on the police report, right after the accident, you were asked, are you okay? And you said, I am okay. The man said, sir, you don't know the context. You see, during the accident, I was thrown out of a car. And there was a horse beside me. And I heard a voice saying, the leg of the horse is broken. And this Texas Ranger got his gun. And I heard, boom! He shot the horse. Then he turned to me. Are you okay? What do you expect me to say? You know, when God asks you, are you okay? And you say, I'm not okay, God will not pull a gun and shoot you. God can take it. Now let me ask you, are you okay? Well, Habakkuk was not okay. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 1. Let's look at the next verse. Why? He's asking why. Why, Lord? Why? So, I tell young believers, when you ask me why, I cannot always give you the answer. I don't understand why a wife will become unfaithful. I don't always understand why a man will suddenly become unfaithful. I don't always understand why family will break up. I don't understand why parents will want to destroy their family by not following the ways of God. I don't always understand. I don't always have the answer. I don't understand why some people don't want to forgive. I cannot always understand what's happening. But when I'm puzzled, what do? I talk to God. Say that with me. Talk to God. I go to God. I cry to God. I've seen situations I don't understand. I talk to God. And that is exactly what Habakkuk did. Habakkuk said, why, Lord, why? You see, the Bible tells us, let's read this, be anxious for nothing. But in what? In something. Is that what it says? Everybody, read it one more time. Be anxious for something. What does it say? Be worried for what? Nothing. Let me ask you, are you worried about something? Are you troubled? I am. If you know what's happening to the economic situation of the whole world, it can be scary. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But what must we do? In what? In everything. What must you do? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Notice, the synonyms for prayer. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. That's the meaning. You go to God. You talk to God. Be honest with God. God can take it. Now, some of you, when you have problems, you don't go to God. You don't pray. You know what you do? Some of us, you go to the nightclub. You go to the bar. You begin to drink. You know why you drink? You want to drown your problem away. Don't go to alcohol. Some of us, you go to pornographic materials to unload. Friends, when you have problems, when you have trials, you go to God. You pray. Don't go to pornography. Don't go to people. Don't go to friends. I even suggest, instead of going to your friends immediately, some of them cannot even help you. You go to God. You pray. God will always welcome you. I have developed a new style of praying. First hour in the morning, when I get up, I kneel down beside my bed, and I begin to pray. When there is problem, when people tell me what's happening, I tell the people, let's stop for a while, let's pray. I believe in prayers. Now, God will not always tell you why, but you pray. So what's the first thing you must learn to do? Pray. When you are troubled, what is honest faith? Honest faith is going to God. You pray. Now, when you pray, you talk to God, yes or no? Now, when you talk to God, you got to listen to God also. So, point number two, you got to learn to listen. Now, what do you mean by listening? Look, God answered Habakkuk. Everybody read. Look among the nations. Observe. Be astonished. Wonder. Because I'm doing something in your days. You would not believe it if you were told. When you go to God, you need to learn. After talking to Him, you need to listen. Prayer is listening. And God told Habakkuk in Tagalog, if I were to translate this, relax lang! Tingin-tingin lang! Look up! See what I'm doing. I'm doing something. Relax only. Relax. You know, sometimes when there is problem, and my wife comes to me, and my wife tells me, you know, this is the problem, that's the problem. You know what I tell my wife, my children? Watch me. Just watch me. Trust me. I want to do something. You know, sometimes we want God to do something immediately. Yes or no? Well, God tells Habakkuk, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I'm going to do something in your days you would not believe it. You know, if God were to tell you what He's going to do, the Bible says, you won't even believe it. You know why? Habakkuk could not believe it. Because not only was Judah violent, immoral, God gave Habakkuk an answer. God told Habakkuk, I am raising up the Babylonians. That fierce, impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places who are not theirs. They are dreaded, feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, keener than wolves. In the evening, their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like eagles, swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings. Rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. In other words, that's how they will conquer 45 cities. They will have ramp. They will pass through like the wind and pass on. They will be held guilty. And whose strength is their God? Habakkuk did not hear very well. He only heard the first part. I will raise up the Babylonians. Now, do you know the problem of Habakkuk? This is the problem of Habakkuk. Lord, Israel, Judah is sinful. Why are you allowing sin? Why are you allowing sin? Why don't you judge this wicked king, this wicked people? And then God came up with an amazing answer. God says, if you think Judah is bad, you haven't heard anything yet. God is saying, I will raise up the Babylonians to destroy Judah. You know, I realize sometimes we don't listen. You know why? It's hard to listen. Because you complain to God. Habakkuk wanted God to change his plan. Lord, Judah is about to be destroyed. Look, do something. And then God gives Judah an answer. Gives Habakkuk an answer. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. They are wicked people and they will destroy Judah. Now, my goodness, if you're Habakkuk, what will you say? In Tagalog, ano ba yan? In English, what is that? Lord, I have a problem. I am about to lose my job. And then you lose your job, and then your family members get sick. You know, don't put God in a box. You know what I'm learning? When you talk to God and you're honest with Him, learn this principle. The ways of God are different. Let's read this together. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts. Stop putting God in a box. And I'm going to tell you how we put God in a box most of the time. Because our theology is faulty. Your concept of God is not exactly complete or biblical. So you think, God, you got to do it this way only. Well, I want you to hear the testimony of Brother Jay. Jay Belda is a muscle man years ago. He's a karate expert. But above all, he came to know Jesus. His life was dramatically changed. He began to teach Bible. He led many people to Christ. Then he migrated to Canada. In Canada, he began to teach Bible. God used this brother of ours mightily. I honestly cannot comprehend why my brother Jay would have cancer. Now, this is his testimony. They wanted to shoot his testimony in the hospital room. This was just done recently. He said no. So he went to his church and gave his testimony. Let us now listen to our brother. Now, listen to me. You need to understand this principle. Why you need to go through life processing things properly. Because there are four fundamental things that will always happen to you. Let me repeat. What's number one? You will be disappointed. There will be trials. And number two, you will not always understand why God is allowing certain things to happen to you. And number three, this is inevitable. You can either become better or you can become bitter. Let me repeat. When you have problems, you can either become better or you can become bitter. You can either grow or you can stagnate. You can become closer to God or you can be drawn farther away from God. But every time you encounter disappointments in life, there are two options. One is to grow. The other one is to stagnate. The other one is to become a better child of God, to become a better believer. Or the other one, you become bitter, you become hard. I praise God for Habakkuk. He learned. He went through a process. And lastly, this is a principle you need to understand. Why we are studying the book of Habakkuk. Why you need to learn to listen. Why you need to learn to talk to God. Because you cannot control what will happen to you. You cannot control others. You cannot control the trials that will come upon you. It's beyond you. I guarantee you that. The only thing that you are in control, the only thing God wants you to be responsible for, is how you respond to problems. And there are many people who are full of anger, full of bitterness, because they want to control others. They want to control circumstances. They want to control their children. They want to control friends. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Whatever will happen to you is beyond your control. The only thing that's within your control, you must assume responsibility instead of blaming others, instead of blaming God. You must assume responsibility in how you will respond to problems. And the Bible says you are to respond in faith. I don't know of any other way. And most of us don't understand this. So you are always blaming others. You are always blaming your friends. You are always blaming society for what's happening in your life. And you become miserable. And you become depressed. You become disillusioned. Why? It's your choice. Because you don't understand the truth about life. All of us will have problems. Are you ready to hear this testimony? But you have a choice. And the choice is faith or unbelief. To become better or to become bitter. Let's hear Brother Jay.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank our awesome God for this chance to stand up here in front of you to give his testimony, not mine. I am just a player here, and it is an honor to be chosen as one. I would also like to thank all of you, those who visited me in the hospital, those who prayed for me and my family. We felt God's love through you. And we pray that God will bless you, as all of you have been a blessing to us. The year 2007, I stood up in front of you, all thanking God for healing me of colon cancer. I thought that the battle was over, but God had other plans. January of last year, the doctors found out that the cancer recurred, but this time in my lungs. I went through a series of chemo treatments. Last December, every time I'd eat or even drink, I'd have stomach pain. It came to a point that even drinking water would cause me to have severe stomach pain. I started throwing up, even the water I drank. I wasn't able to eat anything. I slowly started to lose weight. Last January 18, I went to the emergency room and was so dehydrated. I weighed 185 pounds in November and went down to 117 pounds. The x-ray showed blockages in my stomach. 4 out of 5 doctors did not want to do surgery because they said I was too weak and there was a very slim chance of surviving. But people have been praying and God intervened. The chief surgeon agreed to do the surgery. Our family doctor spoke to us and told us of the situations they could encounter during the surgery. One, it could be a simple surgery and they would easily remove the blockage. Two, the condition could be so severe that they would just close me up and do nothing. And three, they could try to fix it, But if there was a blood vessel that burst, I could bleed to death and never leave the operating table. And as if it wasn't enough, we also were asked whether after surgery, if in case I had heart failure, would they revive me or not. We agreed to go ahead with the surgery. But I went inside that operating room, supposedly a dead man. My wife and I had strong faith that God would see me through. Before they wheeled me into the operating room, my wife asked the nurse if she could pray for me. So we held hands and prayed together. The nurse asked us what church we attend and said that her son is a pastor in the Baptist church in Langley. She said she would take care of me and gave us a reassuring smile. What a loving and caring God we have. But even inside the operating room, he sent someone to comfort and pray for me, while Pastor Jeff and my family and friends were outside also praying. I found out that the youth had to stop what they were doing in the church when Pastor Kamal informed them about my operation. They started praying for me. They were shaking the heavens. The operation, which was supposed to be an hour and a half, lasted 3 hours and a half. Then, as if God reached out his hand and opened my eyes, I was in pain. But this time the pain was good because I knew I was alive. I closed my eyes as they wheeled me to my room. And before we entered the room, I opened my eyes and saw the most beautiful face in the world. My daughter was smiling at me. And I praised God. I praised God, for I know I would still be with my family. It was a long, slow, but sure recovery. He sustained me every day. I would pray and pour out my heart to him. I enjoyed and will treasure the many times I was alone and would read my Bible. And it gave me encouragement and strength each day. I would just close my eyes and be still and listen to him. It was like having a one-on-one Bible study with him. What did I learn from all of this? First, it's time. In John 9:4, Jesus says, we must work the work of works of him who sent me, as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. In Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. If God's purpose was just to save us, he should have taken us the moment we accepted his gift of salvation. But he is still molding and changing you and me into someone he can use to win souls for him. In Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go out, serve his purpose, run the race, finish and win the crown. I do not know how many more days, weeks or months God is giving me, but what matters to me now is when I come face to face with him and he embraces me. I want to hear him whisper to my ear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Second thing I learned is that there will be obstacles. We have heard that a Christian's life is not trouble-free. God allowed many obstacles in this ordeal. He used physical pain and weakness. I've never felt so weak in my life. There was a time that it took a lot of effort just to utter a single word. The pain was so intense, I could hardly find the position that made me comfortable. Many times my daughter would cry watching me, and I would always say to myself that there's comfort coming. True enough, comfort would always come, for God is our comfort. I don't remember crying because of pain, but I do remember many times. I do remember many times I cried while I was being comforted. Now I understand why we have pain and trouble in this world. It is so we can await expectantly for the eternal comfort that awaits us in heaven. In Revelation 24, verse 4, it says that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Third thing I learned is the power of God. I am a living witness of God's miraculous power. I should be dead, but God decided to give me more time. I have cancer all over my stomach, my lungs, my liver and colon. The doctors described it as aggressive, and one day it will win. But I disagree with them, because I focus and belong to a more aggressive and more powerful force who has overcome this world. Our God. Cancer may fill my body from the top of my head to the tip of my toes, but it is God who will decide when to take me home. No sickness or pain or trouble is more powerful than our God. I would like to end this testimony and give back all the glory, honor, and praises to our God.
We shall take this time to pray for Brother Jay. You know what he was doing last Saturday? He left his house to teach a Bible study. Amazing guy. In spite of his sickness, in spite of his condition, I was with him late last year, and he was strong, okay. But I realize, such is life. We don't always know why. What do you do? Like what Jay did. You go to God. You talk to Him. You listen. Listen to what He's teaching you. Don't turn away from Him. Become a better person. And I believe some of us are encountering problems today. But for whatever reason, you are not able to connect your problems with the purpose of God in your life. You are wasting your problems. You are wasting your pain. Because you cannot seem to connect God's amazing purpose in your life and the suffering you are going through. Don't waste your pain. I want us to take this time to pray for our brother Jay. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Father God, it is in times like this when we realize, humanly speaking, the case of Jay is impossible. Medically speaking, there's no cure for him. Scientifically speaking, there's no hope for him. But Lord, you have asked us to pray for those who are sick. Even if he's not here with us, with one heart, we come before you, claiming your promise. If we shall ask anything in your name, you will do it, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. So Lord Jesus, in your name, I am praying that you heal Jay supernaturally, miraculously, remove all the cancer cells from his body, not for our glory, not for his glory, but for your glory and for your purpose. And Lord, if the work of Jay is not yet finished, I know he will live on until his work is finished. So I pray that you will comfort Jay, strengthen him, and let your name be magnified in the life of Jay Belda and Stella, and that many more souls and lives will bring honor and glory to your name. We thank you for what you will do in the life of Jay. We thank you that nothing is impossible with you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. You know, our problem is we usually put God in a box. And when you put God in a box, the problem is you preempt what he can do. So may I suggest, when you're confused, what's the first thing you must do? What's honest faith? Number one, talk to him. Go to God. What's number two? Honest faith? Listen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how do you listen? How do you listen to God? Have you tried listening to God? You see, our problem is we love to talk to God, but we don't listen to Him. May I suggest CCFers, you learn to develop the habit of listening to God. How do you listen to God? I call this the discipline of silence. You learn to be alone with God. For me and my wife and the family, every morning when we get up, when I get up, I'm on my knees. I speak to the Lord. Then I listen to Him. Consciously. When I read the Bible, I listen to Him. Consciously. When I attend a service like this, I listen. Because God, many times, will use the speaker. God will use His Word. God will use circumstances to speak to us. For example, just the other day, my son gave me an article. The article has to do with the end times by Joel Rosenberg. I was surprised when I read that article. He said, from 2008, January to December 2008, America has lost $6.9 trillion in the New York Stock Exchange. From the time Obama took over, from January to March, it lost another 50%, $3 trillion. From the height of the stock market in 2007 up to March, America has lost half of its wealth. No wonder, he said, when I study Bible prophecy, I do not see America playing a major role in the end times. See, if you study biblical prophecy, you will notice Russia is involved in the Bible. You will see Iran, former Persia. You will see China still in the picture. But you don't see America. So according to Rosenberg, is it possible that America will become so weak economically? Hyperinflation, the way they are printing the dollars to pay something that they don't own. America has become a debtor nation. Exactly what God predicted as early as the book of Deuteronomy. God tells His people, if you don't obey me, if you turn your back against me, you will not be a lender. You will become a debtor. Is it possible, according to Rosenberg, that maybe some crazy terrorists will explode some nuclear weapons that will severely cripple America? What's the lesson? The Bible says, when you are confused, you look up. God tells Habakkuk, listen, look up, see what I'm going to do. Your problem is you don't look up. You don't look to God. We are so preoccupied with our little world, with our problems. And you don't see what God is doing. I'm telling you, what's happening in the world economy is part of God's amazing program. And God says, if I were to tell you, you won't even believe this. You see, I believe we're living in the end times. I sincerely believe. And that's why I bring people to Israel. I want to show you biblical prophecies fulfilled right before your eyes. And God is doing something for those who are having trials, problems. You got to learn to connect God's purpose in your life and in history. When the book of Habakkuk was written, you must remember Habakkuk lived around 600 BC. He's the contemporary of Jeremiah. Israel was already in captivity by the Assyrians. Nobody will believe that Babylon will become a world power. Because the world power at that time was Assyria and Egypt. How in the world will God raise up the Babylonians to become a world power and eventually to punish Judah? Unbelievable. Now, some of us are having problems. But you don't seem to get the message that God is not angry at you. But God wants to teach you a lesson to prepare you, to prepare me for eternity.
I praise God for Jay.
Jay understood this. He wants to be prepared for eternity. Now, let me ask you, are you prepared for eternity? When you have problems, turn to the Lord. Don't go to drinking. Don't go to pornography. Don't go to sex. Don't go to those sinful outlets that will relieve you of pain. You go to the Lord. And how do you go to the Lord? You spend time with Him. You pray. You listen. That's how you listen. You listen to people. You watch the newspaper. You say, Lord, what are you doing? I praise God for my wife. Every time we have problems, you know what my wife tells me? Honey, I am really excited to see what God is going to do. You know, sometimes I don't like the first part. Excited. Why will you be excited about problems? But I praise God because of her faith. She knows that God is up to something. Well, God is up to something. For the Jewish people, Habakkuk had to go back to theology. That's why theology is important. In these confusing days, what do you do? Well, you know what Habakkuk did? Look at verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Thou, O Lord, hast appointed them to judge. Thou, O Rock, hast established them to correct. You know, Habakkuk knew something about God. He called God, what? Yahweh. His personal name, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The eternal one, the covenant-keeping God. From everlasting to everlasting, are you not from eternity? What is he saying? Lord, you are almighty. And then he comes up with a conclusion. Therefore, we will not die. Have you ever seen that in your Bible? How do you connect that verse in 12? Oh Lord, are you not from everlasting? My Lord, my God, we will not die. You know why? Because he remembered. God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that my people will prosper in this country. They will multiply like the sands of the seashores. They will be like stars. So Lord, we will not all die. We will not die. So far, so good? Now, when I say that, you must say, so good. Okay? So far, so good. Theologically, he's correct. And then he comes to the next point. Lord, you are our rock. Meaning, you are the King of Kings. You are Almighty. You are using the Babylonians to judge us. You have appointed them to judge us. So far, so good. Theologically, he's right. God is using the Babylonians to judge us. So far, you know, God can use anybody to accomplish His purpose. You see, you and I, we get into trouble for the following reasons. Let me repeat. If bad things happen to bad people, are you bothered? I don't think so. If good things happen to bad people, are you bothered? A little. If good things happen to good people, that's okay. However, if bad things happen to good people, are you bothered? That's the problem. A guy wrote a book about these principles. His conclusion, God is good, but he is not powerful. So he cannot stop evil from happening. Wrong theology. God is good. He is in control. Why is he allowing evil to exist? That is the problem. Throughout the ages, Habakkuk learned something. Look at what he said. Let's read verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil. You cannot look on wickedness with favor. So far, so good. Is God holy? Is God pure? Can you trust Him absolutely? The Bible says He cannot approve evil. So far, so good. What's the problem? He cannot connect. Look at the next phrase. Why? In Tagalog, what is why? Bakit? In Spanish, por qué? In Chinese, 为什么? Why? You like that question, why? You know, when people come to me, why, you know what I tell them? Someday, when you see God, you ask Him why. In the meantime, I don't always know why. Really. I prayed for some singles. Praise God. Many got married. Some, to this day, are still single. Then I began to see why. You know why? God wants you to be single because God knows it's better for you to be single. You'll be happier single. Believe it or not. Yes or no? Single, say amen. Yes or no? Quiet. All right. Why? Why dost thou look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous? You see his problem? Lord, if you are good, why will you allow the Babylonians to attack us? You see, his premise is wrong again. He does not understand God is good. Yes or no? But will he use the wicked to judge his people? Yes or no? Let me show you from the Bible what Habakkuk needed to learn. Let me first tell you his complaining about the Babylonians. The Babylonians bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. He described the power of the Babylonians with a metaphor of fishermen using a net to capture fish. The fish are the victims of the Babylonians. Verse 16, therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net, burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large, their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net continually, slay nations after nations without sparing? In other words, Habakkuk was telling God, Lord, do you know these are evil people? They are like catching fish, and we are innocent victims. Lord, change your plan. Well, Habakkuk did not realize. In 2 Kings chapter 21, look at how God described Israel and how God described the Jewish people. Everybody read this. They did not listen. Manasseh seduced them to do evil more than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites did who were before them, and has made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. When Babylon came, Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. You know why? Because God is holy. And God says, when my people do not practice holiness, they practice immorality, they practice the worship of idols, God is saying, I love you so much, I will not allow you to remain in sin. I'm going to bring discipline. You see, God's discipline is always redemptive. It is always to wake us up. If you're having problems today, realize it's because God loves you. He wants to open your eyes. And therefore, for Christians, it is an abomination to go back to your old ways. You and I have been redeemed from sin. You have heard about the love of God, the forgiveness of Jesus. To go back to sinful ways is worse than unbelievers who have never heard the gospel. Therefore, what do? When you have fallen into sin, you need to learn to repent. You go back. Don't stay away from God. Jesus died on the cross for you. So what must you do? Go to God. Talk to Him. Don't be in denial. Say, Lord, I blew it. I am back in sin. I am back in immorality. God, please change my heart. Be honest with Him. Ask God to change you, and He will change you. And then listen to Him. God is speaking to you, and God is saying, I'm holy. Habakkuk is correct. I will not tolerate sin. Habakkuk is correct. But Habakkuk did not know that God will use other people to judge His own people. And that's one thing you need to learn. Because the book of Deuteronomy prophesied years ago, almost 1,000 years ago. Let's read this. Everybody? Thine The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor for the young. And it happened in the days of Habakkuk. The Babylonians rose up to fulfill God's plan. Why? Because God is holy. He will do something to make people realize He will not allow sin to continue. Ladies and gentlemen, if there is one thing you need to watch out, is this. Do not think, because God is holy, He will close His eyes in what you are doing. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Are our sins paid for? Yes or no? Louder. Yes. Paid for on the cross. Completely or partially? Completely. Completely. So what in the world are you doing committing sin? God loves you so much. If you don't shape up, He loves you. He died. He has forgiven your sins. But He will bring discipline. And to fall into the hands of the living God is very scary. You know, Habakkuk said, Lord, your eyes are too pure. So far? So good. Why do you look with joy, with favor, to those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked are swallowed up? So far? You see, as we close, I want you to remember something. You may not always understand what God is doing, but remember His character. God loves you? Yes or no? The Bible tells us, the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I raise you up to demonstrate my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. You see, God is sovereign. God is telling us today, remember the story of in the book of Exodus? How God used Pharaoh? Yes or no? But Pharaoh was stubborn. Pharaoh did not want the people of God to leave the land. But God says, I raise up Pharaoh for a purpose. Is Pharaoh responsible for his stubbornness? Yes or no? Yes. In fact, if you read the book of Habakkuk, God says, I will judge the Babylonians. But first, the Babylonians will judge you. And after judging you, I will judge the Babylonians. You see, God will judge. But remember, He knows what He's doing. I don't know about you. I don't always understand everything. My Christian life is not based on explanation. It is based on the promises of God. When I had problems years ago, before CCF started, I had business problem. The problem was so bad because it was against the power to be. In other words, we were not in the inner circle during the martial law. And I was teaching Bible. I gave God options on how to help me. I said, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm teaching Bible. In order for me to be effective, Lord, you got to save our business. Lord, do you understand? I need to have a good business. So that when people hear me teach the Bible, they will say, yes. So God, are we clear? So these are the options. God, number one, number two, number three. Lord, please do something. I prayed, and I prayed. In the mid-70s, you were not yet born. I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. You know, God did exactly what He did to Habakkuk. You know what God told me? You think your situation is bad? You watch. It will get worse. Wow, Lord, 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 please. Please. But you know, as I look back today, I thank God. He did what He did. I did not change the mind of God. But God changed my heart, changed my life. What do I mean? How do you teach people to be humble if they have everything in life? How do you teach people to be compassionate for the poor? If they have never experienced what it means, where do you get the next meal? How do you teach people to understand the importance of justice when they have never experienced injustice? After I went through the valleys of the shadow of death for many years, I surrendered everything to the Lord. And can I tell you something? The only thing I could cling on was this verse. Romans 8:28. Let's read this. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God causes what? All things. Wrong decisions. Sometimes we make our own stupid mistakes. Yes or no? Yes. But God causes all things to work together what? For good. On what condition? To those who love God. You know, I praise God. I did not become bitter. I became better. And can I tell you something? God began to restore the blessing. Financially, materially. As I look back, I don't know how to explain this. What He took away, He gave us more. Now, I'm not saying it will happen to you all the time. But one thing I can tell you. When you are in the valley and you don't know what's happening, number one, what must you do? You talk to God. Tell Him what's troubling you. You want to cry? You cry to God. I cried to the Lord. And then what do? You listen. Lord, what are you teaching me? You listen. And number three, always remember God's character. I like this last verse, verse 31. If God is for us, who is against us? Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor. God is for you. Who is against you? Ask your neighbor. Is God for you? Yes or no? General. Is God for you? You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? Praise God. The Bible tells us, God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. When you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you cannot trace His hand, you trust His heart. You see, 3 weeks ago, I met a guy by the name of Bill Wilson. And he told me his life, and I said, can I have permission to share your story with our people? He said, go ahead. Bill Wilson is the pastor of the biggest Sunday school in the whole world. 25,000 children from ages 12 and below in Brooklyn, New York City. And I said, Bill, what gave you a heart to care for children? He gave me his story. He said, when I was 12 years old, my mother told me, I cannot take this anymore. Stay in this corner. My mother left me in Florida in a street corner. And she told me, just stay here. I'm leaving. Don't move. And Bill said, for the next 3 days, he was all alone in that street corner. Imagine a 12-year-old boy left alone in St. Petersburg, Florida, in the corner of a street for 3 days. He said somebody came along, a Christian, who was on his way to save the life of his wife, because his wife had leukemia. But he took time to talk to me. And I told him what happened. He gave me money. He told me, go to this church camp. There's a church retreat, like what's happening now, high school retreat. He sent me there, and he said, when I went to the camp, I learned about Jesus. I learned about God, how much He loved me. So when the invitation came to those who wants to receive Jesus, those who wants to put their faith in Jesus, he said, I went forward. Many young people went forward. But he said, I discovered another thing. Nobody wanted to talk to me. Every other boy had a counselor, except me. And I began to notice why. Because I'm still wearing the same clothes. I was smelly. Nobody wanted to be with me. And then he said, Lord, even if nobody will love me, Lord, you love me.
He said, I gave my life to Jesus. And after the retreat, the pastor invited me to live in the church. The church had a closet. That was my room for the next 3 years. I slept in the closet of a church. And every day, a lady, a member of the church, will bring food. I ate one meal a day for the next 3 years until I finished high school. When I finished high school, I began to work. And somebody told me, Bill, you go to Bible school. God will use you. Whatever people tell me, that's what I did. I have no money. By faith, I went to Bible school. I finished Bible school. Then the church told me, you have Sunday school. And I began to have Sunday school. And the Sunday school began to grow. It kept growing and growing. Now he's the pastor of the largest youth church in America. 25,000 children in Brooklyn, New York. And he said, every year, every December 24, I go to Florida. And I stay in that street corner the whole day, the whole night. I said, why do you do that? He said, I want to remember where I came from. And that's why I love children. Because somebody cared for me. I told you this story because if God were to tell Bill 40 years ago what he's going to do, Bill will not believe. In fact, Bill will never allow God to do that in his life. If God were to tell Bill, you know what's going to happen? Your mother is going to leave you. Your father is going to leave you. You'll be left all alone. Do you think Bill will say, okay, Lord, okay, okay. No, no. You see, God does not always tell you what he's going to do because you cannot take it and you cannot understand this. As I look back in my life, I knew I couldn't take it. Imagine, I was fired from our own company. How can you be fired from your own company? Remember I told you, only in the Philippines. But can I tell you something? What seems to be bad is not really bad. You can become better or you can become bitter. You can become hard or you can become soft and surrender your life to Jesus. And some of you are hard. You have never surrendered your life to Jesus. You are not happy with the lot of your life. You are complaining. You need to understand God is good. Let's bow our heads and pray. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you are complaining about your situation, you please pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I really don't understand why I'm having problems. Lord Jesus, I don't understand why some of my prayers are not answered. But this morning, Lord, I want to let you know. I will make a decision to trust you. Lord, I will believe your heart, though I don't understand why. You sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. You have proven your love for me. You have proven your love for us when you gave your most precious possession. You gave us Jesus. And Lord Jesus, you died on the cross in my place. Today I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. And above all, I accept your plan for my life. I may not see it. I may not understand this, but Lord, I surrender to you my future. Lord, I will keep waiting upon you. I'll keep watching you. And I'll keep trusting you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.